production funding for Behind the Headlines is made possible in part by the WKNO Production Fund, the WKNO Endowment Fund, and by viewers like you. Thank you.
The potential and the impact of community college in Memphis tonight on Behind the Headlines. I'm Eric Barnes with the Daily Memphian. Thanks for joining us. I'm joined tonight by Dr. Tracy Hall, President, Southwest Tennessee Community College. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Along with Dr. Jacqueline Taylor, Associate Vice President of Retention and Student Success at Southwest.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Along with Bill Dries, reporter with the Daily Memphian. You have been at Southwest since 2015.
Yes.
And been in community colleges. We were talking a little bit before the show in St. Louis and Kansas and where was I've forgotten the other
yes,
one already.
Yes, so St. Louis and Kansas City, Missouri.
And Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes.
And for you, looking at Southwest, at its best, Southwest can be what?
At its best, Southwest can be seen as the workforce development provider here and key to training our community and students. And I think that that's one of the things that we have to tell more about what we do at Southwest. When we talk about workforce development, any conversation about workforce development that does not include Southwest is a mistake. And I say that because that's the history of community colleges. We are multifunctional, we are comprehensive, we do it all. But one of the key parts of our mission has always, from the beginning, included workforce development.
And I read from a really interesting profile that of you and Southwest that Jane Roberts did for us. And the open was that Tracy Hall's first duty as the new president of Southwest in 2015 was sorting through the issues behind 7 years of consecutive declining enrollment. And
Absolutely.
You have turned that around pretty dramatically.
Yes.
What did you do to change that direction? And because actually the declining enrollment was during the recession, where generally colleges and community colleges, people, you know, it's harder to get a job, they
Absolutely.
Go back to school. In fact, Southwest was going the wrong direction in that. So what did you do to turn that around?
Well, one of the things we had to do was just to take a look at ourselves. There are a lot of factors that impact enrollment in the communities, and there are a lot of factors that are beyond our control, but there are a lot of things that we could do internally. And so what we saw and had been seeing really for years is that our processes were broken. Students had been telling us for years that it was hard to become a student. It was hard to be enrolled, and all of our paperwork and things getting lost, and so that was a challenge. And so we just looked at what we could do to change. And so one of the biggest decisions was to become members of Achieving the Dream. And that's a national education reform network that looks at transforming institutions, not doing boutique programs, not tinkering around the edges and fixing this or fixing that, looking at the entire college. And that's what we did. And so from recruitment all the way to completion and beyond, we looked at all of our processes. So that's what we did. We fixed ourselves.
And Dr. Taylor, bring you joined in 2016, I believe.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
and in the last 3 years, the enrollment right now, I think, is 9,500 or so, mm-hmm. and it's been rising over these last three
right.
years. From your point of view, what was your role in looking at, hey, we got a problem, we've been declining, there's new leadership. What was your role in turning that
okay.
on?
Well, 2 months into starting at Southwest, Dr. Hall called a team of us in. And she explained what Achieving the Dream can do for us and said, this is the work. So my role was to really look at the student supports and wraparound services. Our systems were broken, and it was important for us to really think about what are the true challenges our students have outside the classroom. So we added a mental health counselor, social services coordinator. That had not been done before at Southwest. We increased our mentoring culture. That has really improved our retention over time. So students who are mentored actually are retained at a higher rate, and they have a higher graduation rate. We create a veteran support center. We've created a mom's achievement center for single mothers. So we've really looked at what our promising student populations need and did a lot of work around that. Professional advising All students have an assigned advisor now to walk with them throughout the graduation and matriculation process.
Yeah, let me bring Bill in.
I'm a little bit under the weather, so I'll sound a little strange today. You got at Southwest a little bit before Tennessee Promise, the state program that guarantees 2 years of free community college, or at the TCATS, the Tennessee Applied Colleges of Technology. Mm-hmm. What kind of a role has that played on reversing the downward trend in enrollment there?
Well, we've seen an increase in our student population in terms of younger students coming directly from high school, which has always been a challenge for community colleges, because a lot of times in the high schools they focus more on four-year institutions, and we don't necessarily get a lot of information provided to the students about what we offer. Mm-hmm. And I think some of that has to do with counselors, and they may have never had an experience with a community college. They understand the four-year process and systems, and so that's where they direct the students. And so Tennessee Promise had them look at us, because it removes the financial barrier for students. And so then parents that may have only thought about sending their children to a four-year institution, they started to give community colleges a second look.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Taylor, what have you seen in terms of retention of these younger students specifically?
For Tennessee Promise, we have really ramped up our retention in that area, specifically with our bridge programs. We've been able to have a summer bridge at Whitehaven. Last year, the retention was 100% for those students, and this year, this past summer, about 92%.
So it's a program between their first year at Southwest and their second?
Absolutely. It bridges them into their fall semester. And to have those type of retention rates for bridging the gap, so to speak, in their academic preparedness has really been amazing for us.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hall, do you have to compete with the younger students in terms of them just seeing a lot of ads on television for the for-profit schools that are out there? Is that a factor?
Well, actually, we compete not only with other institutions, but I say this often, we compete with the street, because there are options that students see every day, and they see people who are quote-unquote successful, maybe to them, that aren't going to school. And so that gets their attention. Quick money, fast money. So that's our competition, and that's how I have always looked at it. Of course, we do have other institutions of higher education that compete, but look at the number of students or potential students that are not going anywhere. In every city in which I've lived, I've gone through some of the more distressed areas looking at people who are just kind of hanging out in the middle of the day. And those are the people that I want to come to Southwest. I don't believe that there are throwaway people, but we have to find a way to engage them. So to me, the streets, that's our competition.
I don't know if you have the exact number, but I'm curious how many people come to Southwest or start the process or begin to explore and don't realize that they may qualify for this Tennessee Promise, that they might be able to do this for free. I mean, how many walk in saying, I don't know if I can afford this, I'm interested, and then are surprised to learn there's this Tennessee Promise program?
Well, I think the positive thing about Tennessee Promise, another of the positives about Tennessee Promise, is that the high schools are very supportive. And so they have
to
begin the process.
They're
absolutely. So they have to begin in high school. And so the high schools are telling students about Tennessee Promise. They're also telling, and for the older students being over, I think, 24, mm-hmm. they are aware of Tennessee Reconnect. And so that's for the adult students.
So what percentage, I mean, I don't know, I should have looked this up, but I'll ask the experts here. Is Tennessee Promise, it's income-based, right? It looks at your income in part, and if you don't qualify for other dollars, it's a last dollar program. Am I saying that correctly? It'll fill in any gaps that a Pell Grant or other financial aid doesn't cover.
Right, and so students all have to fill out the FAFSA, and so based on what their expected family contribution will be, they typically, our students, because our students are amongst the poorest in the state, the EFC, or expected family contribution, for students that come to us is around $875.
For a year.
That's their families can only afford about $875. Okay. But you look at across the state, it's about $4,500, $4,600. So we have an extremely impoverished population. So most of our students receive a Pell Grant, full Pell Grant. To cover, but for those students that they will not receive a full Pell Grant, their families can have a higher EFC, then the Tennessee Promise funds kick in, and it is a last dollar, as you said.
And about how many students, I mean, how much does it cost? So we talked about the number of students. What does it cost a full year before any assistance or financial aid?
About $4,500.
Per year. And all the degrees are two-year degrees?
Two-year degrees, but we have short-term certificates as well. So okay. You can get career in a year. We have about 20 programs where they're less than a year.
You talked a lot about the counseling and the support services. Mm-hmm. How many students at Southwest, I would imagine it's very high, that they're also working?
Most of our students work. We conducted some qualitative focus groups last spring, and we found overwhelmingly that our traditional late students just coming out of high school and our adult learners said they have to work. And so when you look at that EFC comparison, we realize that poverty is a major factor for us. And so in the last year for our adult learners in particular, we've been able to get grant funding for books and Access Code scholarships because Access codes. So that is a type of online access to textbooks.
Okay, gotcha.
And so what we found was we removed the barrier of tuition for Tennessee Promise and Reconnect students. They come through our doors, but they can't afford books.
Well, and with as someone who has two kids in college.
Yes.
It's astounding. Yes. What
absolutely.
I mean, my son's a computer engineering, yes. And my daughter. I mean, the book price is really
the first semester of books may be $1,000, and so that has been one
and
of
Tennessee
the things.
Promise, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Tennessee Promise can't go
it
towards
does,
that.
No, it does not at cover, all. Not it at does all. Not cover books, and so people don't know that. So they know it's the tuition, mm-hmm. but all the other support that the student needs, like books. And so we have our foundation. We award over about $150,000 a year in book scholarships, and it's still not enough.
And I would imagine, I mean, back to this, the declining enrollment and coming back.
Yes.
I mean, things like that, if you're working, poor, and then suddenly you've got a book bill. I mean, that could just send somebody to throw their hands up and say, I've already got to get there. Transportation is difficult. I mean, when you
absolutely.
Start piling up those daily difficulties and daily impediments to being in class,
right.
Absolutely.
$500 worth of book in a semester just says, I just can't do that.
Yeah. And then you have to think, we're in a technology age, right? Mm-hmm. We have worked really hard to increase our Chromebook checkout program. So students
Google Chromebook.
Yes, the Google Chromebooks, they can check them out for a semester and use them whole semester for free. And we found that students who check them out multiple times, plus have those wraparound mentoring supports and other layers of support, they are retained at much higher rates. And so we know that holistic student support is critical for us.
Let me ring Dylan.
Let's talk about jobs. And the jobs that are out there now, mm-hmm. are those going to be the jobs of the future, or is the Memphis economy, as we've heard from some people, mm-hmm. In store for a big change and maybe an emphasis away from logistics?
Well, I think given our industries that are located here, I think we will always have a logistics and transportation as a main industry. But I think that we will be neglectful in preparing for the future if we don't focus on more STEM-related and IT careers. And when we look at what students are interested in, being exposed to those types of high-wage types of jobs. And that's when I've spoken to students and they're not in school, one of the things that they're saying is that we don't offer what they want, or we're not focusing on what they want. So there may be jobs available, but if students, potential students, aren't interested in those jobs, we have to find out where are we preparing, what are we preparing them for. We want to make, at Southwest, what we've focused on the first couple of years that I was here, we focused on the what, and so fixing the decline in enrollment, fixing our processes. But what we're focusing on now, it's our why, and it's moving people out of poverty. and giving them viable options to not be on the street, not doing things that are illegal. What can we provide, and looking towards the future? So when we're talking more about IT and our Cisco Academy that's at our Maxine Smith campus. Also, we have very strong allied health and nursing programs. And though actually our nursing program, it's our most popular program. And our business program, it's our second most popular program. And so we have to expose students to not just transportation and logistics, understanding that that industry is very strong here in Memphis, but also expose them to a variety of opportunities for them so that they can earn family-sustaining wages.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Taylor, your thoughts on that?
Well, one of the things we did in the first year of ATD was look at our co-curricular programming, that out-of-classroom support, and we decided that we really needed an internship program. We've really ramped that up over the last couple of years, built some great partnerships for our AAS degree programs in particular. Those are the Associate of Applied Science. So students are ready for the workforce as soon as they get that degree. But those interns, at a rate of about 40%, when they intern with a company, they're eventually hired with that same company. So we're teaching our students that that's the 3-month interview, right? So that they can really become socially and economically mobile in the Memphis area.
And why that's important in terms of our why, it's because we're focusing on equity. And so you have students that come to us underprepared academically, but they're also underprepared socially. They also don't have the safety nets in place that some students that may have families that are already, if they're not first generation, they already have connections. And so it's important for us to get our students into the workforce through these internship opportunities, because when you're talking about closing achievement gaps, you're talking about closing equity gaps, this gives them an opportunity to have experiences of someone whose families already maybe can get them connected into the business.
And I would assume, I mean, we have had people on the show and we've written about it, and both politicians and business leaders talking about, you know, there's a number that gets thrown around a lot,
yes.
16,000 unfilled jobs,
yes,
right now in
right.
Memphis.
Yes.
And although we have poverty and all kinds of issues, I mean, unemployment's very, very
yes.
low.
Yes.
So I would assume the businesses are all over this, many of them, in
yes.
terms of, yes, we are struggling to hire in these mm-hmm. these tech jobs. Not necessarily, mm-hmm. I mean, in these kinds of jobs you're talking
yes.
about, there's,
yes.
you know, they always talk about the welding, they talk
That's
about
right.
the
medical device,
medical they talk device. About, you know, high, you know, manufacturing is not
right.
what it used to be.
Yes.
So do you have a whole effort to go out and talk to businesses and say, hey, will you host an internship program? And then is there a shaping of the internship and the curriculum to meet that company's needs? Or is it, hey, here's our program, do you, the business, fit into it?
No, absolutely not. And that's, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I think that's a common misconception, is that in higher ed and or maybe at community colleges specifically, we teach what we want to teach, and that's absolutely not.
That's a question I was struggling to ask.
Yes, and that's absolutely not our perspective at all, because the goal is for every student to get a job. And so we can't teach what we want if that's not what the industry needs. And so with all of our career and technical programs, we have advisory committees. Those advisory committees are comprised of people from business and industry. They inform us about curriculum. They inform us about the equipment, the latest equipment that we need. And through those advisory committees, that's how we have those partnerships to get our students internships. So no, it's absolutely the opposite. The business and industry has to be engaged with us. We have to be engaged with them so that we can know when our students graduate that they are work ready.
And I would assume some of that dynamic is a part of retention, right? I mean, some of it comes
Absolutely.
Down to dollars and cents. You're going to go to this school to get this degree, spend the money that you might have to spend and the
mm-hmm.
hassle and the
mm-hmm.
trouble and all those difficulties, and there's a job waiting out there, right? I mean, that's part of your carrot
right.
in terms
right.
of keeping people going in this process.
And what we're trying to do is expose students before they graduate, right? We hope to get to a point where students are getting at least 2 internships before they graduate, because it's more than just having expertise in the discipline and knowing how to use the machinery or do accounting. It's about soft skills and critical thinking, Do they know how to communicate and collaborate and be part of a team and lead when it's time to lead and follow when it's time to follow? So those experiential learning opportunities allow us to really cultivate our students by intellect, but also within their character as well. We want to be known for sending out great people with great attitudes, great skills to be a part of the Memphis workforce.
Let me go back to about 6 minutes.
All right. Dr. Hall, Southwest tried something that a lot of institutions are trying, and that is a college high school, I think it's called. And that didn't work out. Will there be another attempt at that? And what were the lessons learned from this?
Well, so let me say first, this was my third urban community college and my third time starting an early college model. It worked in Kansas City. It worked in St. Louis. Unfortunately, it didn't work here for a variety of reasons. But one of the things is that because I've had experience doing that, I knew that if students, this is a very rigorous model, if students aren't provided the necessary supports in high school, they will not be ready when it's time for them to take college classes. They have to have qualified, certified teachers. They have to have the wraparound support services. If that's not provided in high school, they're not going to be ready. And so the goal was to do just as I've done in Kansas City, where it's been successful, and in St. Louis, where it's successful. Here, it didn't work.
Will there be another try?
We are ramping up our partnership with Shelby County Schools, and we're in discussions about what happens next. But I will say we've gone from about 600 or so dual enrollment students last year to over 1,000 this year. So we have not abandoned our partnerships with K-12. In fact, it has increased not only with SES, but with all of our suburban districts as well. When we're talking about exposing students to careers, it does not just begin when they get to our doors. And so we have to work in the high schools and have students to see what an advanced manufacturing job looks like, what mechatronics is before they get to us. And so we are currently doing that. I will always feel that this has been one of the great disappointments of my career, the failure of this particular early college high school. That will not deter me from continuing in the partnership with K-12.
And when you talk about student preparation, you're talking about students at a much earlier stage before they get to your doorstep.
Absolutely. If we start talking, and so that was the beauty, and that's the beauty of early college high school, because you start talking about college before 11th grade. A lot of times in dual enrollment, we start when they're in 11th grade. We have lost too many students before then. If students don't know how, and even going before ninth grade, what Dr. Ray is doing with the whole reading initiative is critical. What
George Ray, the
superintendent, yes. And what the city is doing with pre-K, that's all, it's a system. And so if students don't know how to read by third grade, then they are disadvantaged their entire educational career. And so that's why the early college model is critical, but even more and sooner. To get students ready for college. We have to start in preschool.
With just a couple minutes left, a bunch of you mentioned mentoring. Who are the mentors? Internal faculty? Are they outside business people? Who are the mentors?
Our professional staff and faculty volunteer. Actually, they give of their time without expectation for a stipend or anything to support our students. And since 2016, we have ramped up our mentoring model from 24 students to well over 700 in that program and over 100 actual mentors that support our students.
You mentioned veterans offhand. About what percentage of veterans are what percentage of Southwest students are veterans? Do you have any sense?
We have about 150 students. Okay. So it's a relatively low population, but we know that veterans need that additional support. Coming back from active duty, getting transitioned into college, it's really critical that we hone in on serving promising student populations. We appreciate the service of our veterans, and so we have been very intentional to wrap that up.
I did not know this, I should have until I read this article, that there are there are seven actual physical locations.
Yes.
I mean, there's the,
yes.
The people think of the building along the I-40.
I-40, right.
That's the primary campus, but there are, talk about these other locations.
We have seven locations. We have Macon Cove campus, it's off 40. We have Union Avenue campus, and those are our two larger campuses. And then we have smaller campuses, one in Whitehaven, one in Fraser, and one in... We have one in Whitehaven, Fraser,
and then it's
Maxine Smith,
okay.
Which is near South Wind.
Okay.
And then we have locations in which we partner. So we have a space in Millington where we share space with the University of Memphis, and then we've recently opened our Somerville location, which is a partnership,
County.
Yes, in Fayette County with UT Martin.
And are there more locations? On the way?
No. Well, stay tuned.
Okay.
Because we're trying, we think we've saturated almost Shelby County, but now we're looking at Fayette County as well.
Well, we will get you back and talk about that when
Thank
that happens.
You.
Thank you both for being here.
Thank you, Bill.
Feel better and stay away from everyone.
Yes.
And thank you for joining us. Join us again next week.